At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Wake up, wake up, wake up. This is your cup of Joe after hours, where we're closed, but there's some people still hanging around. And during their conversations, we kind of peek in to see what they're talking about. You know, this time it's just me talking, conversing, I guess, with myself or with you all about a specific topic. So let me start off with a story. My dad and my mom were divorced, so I was raised for a portion of my life, a good bit of my life, pretty much all of it, without a father. And he came in our life about my 11th, 12th grade year, so around the time that I was 15, 16, right? But to cut across the path, he was trying to make it work, and, you know, and like any son, I revered and respected my dad, although he was not in my life. I was just happy to have him there to say, hey, this is my dad, y'all. And I was proud to see him in the morning when I got on the bus. I could say goodbye, dad, and all of that stuff, man. It was just, you know, it was great. Well, one time, and I gotta tell the story here. You know, I chalked this up to him not being rude. Not being used to a family. If you understand my dad, first of all, my dad has passed. But before that, his mother, my grandmother, had passed. Now, before she passed, she was an incredible cook. She could cook and bake. One of her specialties was caramel cake. And man, it was awesome. Well, I don't know what she did it for. I don't know why she did it, but she made one and said it was for him. He brought the cake in the house. Now we didn't grow up with much. And so you bring it around three teenagers, two of whom are boys. One was going to be 6 feet. You know, I was 5'8". I stopped growing. And, anyway, you know, you don't do that. You bring it around us, boom, it's gone. And so me and my brother, he said, that cake is mine and don't nobody touch it. And we're like, excuse me? And, you know, we just took it as kind of a joke because in my house. Now, when I say something's mine, it's really not mine. Y'all dads, y'all help me out. It's really not ours. If my son can wear it, if my son or daughter can eat it, they like it, and they eat it, I'm not going to say no. But I chalk it up to his ignorance in that area. And he said, that's mine. And so he went fireball. He had a fit on us about caramel cake. Now, let me put time out. My grandmother's caramel cake was worth going off about. You hear me? And if your family and you watching this, you know that her caramel cake was, oh my gosh, it was the best. But back to the story. Man, he went in on us. I mean, he called us greedy, ungrateful, and all of that. And so I was done. And I went in on him. I talked about the times he didn't show up when he was supposed to. I talked about, I know you didn't buy that bike for me when they said that you bought that bike. I know My grandmother bought that bike for me. I mean, I went to every story, and you know, in my rage and in my anger, me and my brother were going in on him. He was coming at us, and mind you, the neighbors could hear this. And man, you know, to be transparent, man, I said some things that were not favorable. Some things I don't want to repeat here. Some profanity, yes. I cussed him out, but then I cursed him. I wouldn't say I cursed him, but I demeaned him, man. And man, I called him no good. I called him lazy. I said, that's why you are who you are now. You ain't ever be nothing. You ain't never be trustworthy. You ain't ever be faithful. I remember it like it was yesterday. I said, that's what you're gonna always be selfish. You're gonna always be good for nothing, you know. And my dad had this beautiful dark skin, but I picked on him. I said, you crusty black, shiftless, lazy. Oh my gosh, y'all. I mean, I went in. And you know, and what I remember is not him coming back at me. Not a big, you know, and the things that I was saying, even my brother had to look, and my sister had to and say stop, and had to pull me back, you know. Now, mind you, my dad was a he was about 5'5", but he was huge, and it was all muscles. He had looked good, but them arms, them legs were muscle. He could have told me from ear to ear. He could have ripped me a new one. He could have beat me down. There would be no Joseph Moore today, Joseph Moore the third, because he would have beat me down. And but I went in. I mean, I was looking for a fight, and I told him I was looking for a fight. I told him, step, you know, if he bad enough and bold enough, step. Yeah, I ate your cake and I'll eat it again, man, y'all. And here's what I remember that now tears my heart apart is. There was not anger in his face. There was a look of almost tears, you know. And I thought about it. Your oldest son, your namesake, the one who looks like you, the one who acts like you, mannerisms, just denigrated. Now, as a older man, understand, man, that. I disrespected the dignity and the character of another man. Let's take the dad and the son off the table. Disrespected the dignity and the character of another man. And I tore him down to nothing. And it was almost a breach that I could not repair. And you know. And that's all I remember seeing of him, almost to tears, and him just walking away. And you know, it was so bad that the dad from across the street heard us and heard some of the things I was saying, and said, you know, I know he wasn't there, and I know, you know, but that's still your dad. That's no way to talk to your dad. And you know, I just said yes, sir, and moved on. And I mumbled to myself, I don't care. You know, why did I not care? Here's what I wanted to get to is the topic I want to talk about is no rest for the weary, is dealing with anger. I have so much pent up anger that I released it like a irreparable dam. And you know, what people some people say that if you release it, you know, it doesn't matter. It you know, you'll get the anger out. I beg to differ. I'm not a psychologist, a psychiatrist, but I believe that there's a healthy way to release anger, and there's an unhealthy way. And that was an unhealthy way because I attached that to me. I attached that to, you know, I'm a spiritual person. I attached it to my soul. And that anger was sitting there, and I did not want to look at him for a while. You know, and it took, like I said, I'm a spiritual person. It took going to a college young adult shut-in, lock-in, where I had to cry out all of those emotions of anger because it was there from the days that summers that he didn't pick me up to the times he didn't give me what I was supposed to. Let me tell you, y'all, I'm a Detroit Lions fan. Do you know why I'm a Detroit Lions fan? I used to be a Bears fan. Man, I love Sweetness, Walter Payton, Gale Sayers. I mean, I wasn't born when he was, you know, but I did the history on because I loved because my dad stayed in Chicago. And I loved it. But I attached that really hatred for him to Chicago. And I don't like the Bears. I didn't like the Bears at all. So I grew to love Detroit because of Barry Sanders and things like that. But all that emotion was pent up. And I did not release it healthy. It wasn't a healthy release. And so I had to live with that anger for a while. I had to live with the fact that I denigrated my dad, you know. I shouldn't have done that. I don't care how I felt and how hurt I was. I should not have done that. Shouldn't have torn him down like that. It did nothing but create a place of anger in me. It created a place. Now I was at a place. I'm not at that place now, but I was at a place. I'm speaking like I'm back there. And now I'm walking around at a place that anybody tries me, anybody can get it because I felt rejected. And so that was rejection speaking, you know, that was, the little boy speaking from feeling rejected at that time. And how do you deal with that? Because there's a lot of young men, particularly young black men, and scratch that, there are young men that's going around that have their fathers in their life or don't have their father, or but for some reason they have this anger and it's no rest. It's like a desert with where you're trying to find water, and it's a quenching of it's affecting your mental. It is becoming who you are. You're becoming this mean person. A lot of times, a mean-spirited person is mean because they're guarding something. And I wasn't mean-spirited, man. I joked and played a lot, and I'm gonna tell you. I joked and played a lot because it was the grace of God. I say that. And for those who are spiritual, hey, it is what it is. But it was the grace of God because, you know, I was likable. Everybody loved me. I got along with everyone. But, you know, there were days that I woke up like, I want somebody to try me. And I was a little dude. I had muscles and stuff. But still, 150, 60-some pounds, I would have got ripped to shreds, you know. But I still carried around this anger. And sometimes I took it out on my mom. Sometimes I talked to her up. And, man, I got whooping for that. I did. She didn't take that now. She did not take that. She still got me good. We believed in corporal punishment in our house. And she got me. But there was still this anger. That I needed what we call in the church world deliverance from. I needed a release for all of those of that little boy. I couldn't grow up to be a man because I needed a release from that little boy. And so I got that release from that little boy where, man, I went to him and apologized. And that apology, we hugged. My dad didn't show emotions. And he liked me, or I'm like him. I rarely do. Now, when I'm in a good praise and worship moment at church, I will. But outside of that, you know, I'm not a very emotional person. But, you know, he gave me a hug. And I remember we had a church service the next week. We brought our choir down, our college choir, to my small town of Louisville, Mississippi. And they made a call for those who needed prayer and who needed salvation. And my dad came down. And ever since then, man, ever since that moment, you know, we all hugged my sister, myself, my brother, because they were there that night. And we hugged him. And, you know, we told him we love him, told him we pray for him. Now, he still had his issues. One of the things, man, I tell you, and this is not about my dad, but he had money issues. So if I asked him, like, I need to borrow, if I needed to borrow 100, I had to say I had to borrow 150, because he ain't not gonna give you all the money in his pocket. So he had to say, hey, 100 is all I got. I learned it because I was saying, well, I need to borrow 100. He said, man, all I got is 60 or 70. Well, knowing he had 100 and he was good to go with it. But our relationship got better. Yeah, I hate that he left suddenly and so soon. And still young, he's been gone for about 13, 14 years now. But that anger that I had was left me restless. It invited fear. Sometimes I was scared to go to sleep at 17, 18, 19. Sometimes I needed a nightlight because it invited fear as well. And I believe that a lot of people deal with that, is that anger invites fear. And the thing about anger is you must watch it. Watch what you have in your heart. So you're angry because somebody stepped on your shoes. It rarely got anything to do with stepping on your shoes. It rarely has anything to do with that. So you're taking out a gun to take somebody's life because they stepped on your shoes, or they took your girl or something of that nature. She wasn't yours, bro, if she can be taken like that. So you're using anger as to take a life, and that anger is still with you. That doesn't release. That's not a healthy release. Taking someone's life, that's not a healthy release. Beating somebody to a pulp, that's not a healthy release. You need to know how to manage your anger. You need to know when to use it, when to emote. I get angry, yeah, to protect the ones that I love, yes. But there's sometimes I need to sit back and say, you know what, it's not worth it. You know, I had an incident one time where a guy challenged me, and, you know, he kind of talked about my family. And my family had to say, because yes, let me go here. You know, I was going to get the gun and say, okay, let's, bro, you know where I am. And, you know, and I'm thinking that's going to change. And so I had to sit back and manage it. Like, some guy got a little soft, and I looked soft because he called me all kinds of names, called my family all kinds of names. And my wife had to say, look, we need you here. And this is going to end with somebody dying. And that showed that, because if it was the little boy, Joseph, I would not be here, because somebody was going to get it. But the man, Joseph, who didn't let anger control him, said, you know, it's not even worth it. And you need to find a place and realize, hey, I got anger issues. I'm not just mean. I'm mean because I'm guarded. I'm guarding. What are you guarding? I'm not mean. I know people talk about me. I know people do this. This is part of life. But it doesn't take my joy and happiness. It does not do anything to take bread or food from my that's them. They're miserable. I don't have time for miserable people. And you're not going to make me miserable because you're miserable. So, yes, you can think you're getting away by whatever type of slick stuff you say, all that. But guys, girls, ladies, gentlemen, slick stuff is slick stuff. At the end of the day, if I'm getting money, if I'm happy with my family, I can move you to somewhere else and you won't have to deal with me. You can find somebody else to say slick stuff to. And that's why I would do that in a minute. Smile and talk to someone and not care about them at the same time. So it's about where you place that anger. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to emote, get angry, be guarded and mean all the time? Know when you're not at a healthy place. Know when you're saying like, hey, I need to talk to someone. I need help. And when you get that help, and when you are talking to someone, listen, if you get in therapy, it's not a band-aid. We said that in one episode. It is there for you to get help. Use that therapy. When you get in prayer, be honest with the priest, the pastor, preacher. Be honest in that area. To say, you believe in God. To say, God, I need you to help me. Help me in that area. There's still, now, sometimes that little boy wants to get back on the throne of my heart, so to speak. But I have to push him away because there is no rest for the weary. The play on word. You get no rest here because you're weary. You're worn out from being angry all the time. There is no rest for you in my heart. This is Cup of Joe after hours.